I've come back to the delightful town of Port-Louis to speak to Mike Lucas once again. You've got a project on the go at the moment, and you're writing a book about the islands of Brittany. Can you tell me a bit about how that's come about?
Yes, it's quite a long, ongoing project, this. It's 10 years, like, but it's a big project because originally, when we moved to Brittany, we started hearing about these islands that you could go and visit, you know, where people actually lived. And so I think we first of all probably went to Belle Isle, which is the biggest...
Belle Isle en mer,
and absolutely loved it and discovered a little bit of it and realised how interesting it was.
You go to Quiberon to get to it?
45-minute boat trip from Quiberon, yeah. And just next to Belle Isle are the Ugly Ducklings, Huat and Edic. Huat's small, Edic's even smaller, but they are lived on as well, and they're brilliant. But so I thought, when you look at a book about Brittany or a travel book, islands are mentioned. I couldn't find any book that had been written in English or in French, for that matter, that tells you the story of all the islands. And originally, my idea was to cover the whole of the islands of the Atlantic. So going round from Ile de Chaussée, it's in Normandy, actually, technically, isn't it?
It's just near the Mont Saint-Michel.
Yeah. And coming right down through Brittany and ending up right down near La Rochelle with Ile d'Aix and Ile d'Oléron. So I was going to cover all those islands and then write a book about that. So I started doing that, and I had actually been to those down in the south, Aix, Oléron. I haven't been to Chaussée yet, but I've been to every inhabited, very tiny ones where there is one person living or something like that. There is one where a young couple and their child look after this island. They've got a gîte, and you can go.
Which island is this?
What's its name? It's near Molène. It's just off Molène, actually. Anyway, so I decided that there's got to be a book about this. So that's the research started. Started visiting the islands, and what was so fascinating, and what makes hopefully the book interesting, is that every island is different. Every island has its own characteristics, its own geography. A different type of people, the history of the people, the culture. Every island from Belle Isle, which has obviously got quite a few inhabitants, I think about 2,500 live in Belle Isle, went down to somewhere like Ile de Sein, which has got 100 people living on it. And that is an amazing island. You go there from Odienne, and as you go on the boat trip, it's nearly an hour's boat trip. You go along the coast and then you turn left at the Pointe du Raz, and that's the first time you catch sight of the island. But all you can see, it looks like there's a little group of houses sitting on the sea, actually sitting on the sea, because it's so flat, it literally sits on the sea. And in the winter, must be amazing. The hotel, for instance, we stayed with, the waves come over the first floor on a good night. So, I mean, that's just one example of all the differences of the islands.
Do you have a favourite?
Oh, goodness me. Obviously, Belle Isle has so much history as well. No, I love things like the Ile de Sein and the story of the Ile de Sein, which is absolutely amazing, that when General de Gaulle went to Britain, he made that amazing speech asking French people to come and join him for starting the resistance from England. All the men of Sein, almost the next day after the speech, got into their boats and came to England.
Every single man?
Every single man, apart from the vicar, the baker, and I can't remember who else, about two or three were left behind. Everything is just the women and children were left.
How many of them came back?
They all stayed there during the war. Their boats got impounded when they got there, so they couldn't get back. And I think most of them did get back eventually. General de Gaulle made a speech not long after, and he said that 2/3 of his army were from the Ile de Sein, because not many people answered the call initially at all. It wasn't a great flood of people coming over from France. So I love that island. That's just one example of Huat. Ile de Huat, which is just off Belle Isle, and Edic even more so. Actually, I choose Edic over Huat. Edic's even smaller. The little duckling and the big duckling, they're called. Huat, it's just a paradise. It's just a little paradise. It seems to always have good weather. I don't know why.
It has its own microclimate.
And wonderful beaches, you know. And again, a lot of history. But again, about 100 people live there. But there are bars and restaurants, and they get summer visitors, but not anything like the numbers that go to Belle Isle or crowd onto Groix.
We're in Port-Louis here. If we were lucky to look out the right direction, we'd see the Ile de Groix.
It's just over there, yeah.
Which is also a wonderful place.
Oh, yes, I love it. The thing about doing this research is it's not just going over for the day. Every island we've been to, we've gone over and found somewhere to stay. And we've stayed at least 2 days so that you could get a feel of the island.
It's a fantastic bit of research. I mean, it's a real pleasure, I imagine.
Yeah, yes, I mean, it's costing a fortune. I'll never make any money out of this. I mean, obviously, we're paying all the expenses. I haven't got a publisher yet.
And what do you think the appeal is for an island? Do the English have a particular attraction?
Well, no, the English, we asked about this. We asked, for instance, on Wesson, who comes here. They said all the French, obviously, the Bretons particularly, Germans, Dutch. Any English? Oh, very few. And we tried to work out why it was that the English, obviously they do go to the islands, but not in the numbers you'd expect. Because I think they live on an island. And going to another island doesn't really appeal to them in the same way that when you're on the continent. And that's what that's called. When you go to an island, you look across to le continent. So the appeal to the English doesn't seem to be great, but the appeal to most people who go there is the fact that you do feel, at the title of the book, a world apart. As soon as you get off the boat, it's very similar. Maybe this is why it appeals to me, to living on the canals. Because living on the canals, although you're passing through towns and villages, you're a world apart. You live in a linear world, as the boat people did. That was their world, the linear world, where they travelled along these ribbons of waterways, passing through places.
I just remind listeners who maybe didn't hear the first interview with you that you're actually in your colourful past, directed a theatre company which travelled the canals of England.
The Micron Theatre.
The Micron Theatre. So that's, you're making a parallel with that. That's really interesting. I'm also curious to know whether you discovered anything that these islanders have got in common, like an attitude to le continent, as you call it, the mainland, or a spirit of independence or something like that. I don't know.
I think all those things you've mentioned, I think the desire to live somewhere tranquil, where you're away from the bustle. The one thing you never get on an island is bustle. Except you do, you get bustle. It's the moment the ferry arrives. And the ferry is a very interesting thing because we've sat and watched the ferry. People pour off. And if it's an island like Belle Isle where the cars are allowed, the cars have to negotiate their way off this boat, quite tricky. It looks, oh my God, all these people arriving. And then within 5 minutes, they're scattered and you don't even notice they're there. It's very, very interesting. So even though there are people there, it's a feeling of remoteness. And of course, if you go to certain parts of the islands, they are really remote. Mm-hmm. People live there and I couldn't live there. I wouldn't want to live on an island, but I love visiting them.
I also wonder about the problems that these islanders might have, because recent visit to Groix, I noticed a lot of houses with their shutters closed. It made me think that actually there were a lot of holiday homes. And it's very good for the island in that there's people that use the island for their leisure. But it also makes life very difficult for the young people.
There are problems in keeping the populations up. And certainly there is a lot of second home ownership and that the populations of these islands increases dramatically in the summer months, you know. But the people who live there, most of them are actually going up slightly. And the reason is, I think it's the young. The young are actually very interested in that way of life now. And most of them have still got a school, a primary school at least.
But there are young people on the island.
There are young people and small children as well. People are having babies, which is good. So that is very important. It's not just an old dying population. In my view, I mean, I think it's gradual. But there is a feeling that these things are worth keeping and the young realise this. I've got faith in the young.
That's a great way to end the conversation. For the time being anyway, Mike, thanks very much indeed. Just remind us of the title of the book.
A World Apart.
OK, well, we'll look out for it when it's on the bookshelves.
Right, thank you.
Mike Lucas, thanks very much indeed.
You're welcome anytime.